Hey, y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
So I'll give you a glimpse into my morning so you can just, you know, realize that the preacher's family is just as normal and crazy and messed up and chaotic as yours hopefully is too. But we were getting ready for school the other day, and I mean, do you have to tell your kids 5-6 times, you know, get out of bed, and then you got to go turn the lights on, then you got to pull the sheets off of them, then you got to tickle them and get them up? Well, I had to, you know, I have to allow an extra 10 minutes to do that. So we get up extra early, trying to get the kids up, and they finally, you know, drug themselves out of bed. And then Hank, he has this blankie still. Yes, he's 6. And he carries it into the hallway, and he just sits there, and he has that stare, you know, that. For a good 5 minutes, and I'm like, Hank, buddy, you got to get up. You got to get ready. You're not going to have time to eat breakfast. Come on. And I feel like I could just press, like, repeat on a recorder, and that could just say the same thing every morning. Get up. Get dressed. Brush your teeth. Come on. We got to go. We got to eat breakfast. So he's sitting there, and so I'm pushing him to hurry. So I'm in the kitchen fixing lunches, fixing breakfast, and all that good stuff. And then I hear Hank crying, and I go in the bathroom. I'm like, what's wrong, buddy? He's just standing there crying. He's holding his toothbrush. I still don't know why he's crying. So I'm just like, okay, just brush your teeth, you know, and he finally calms down. So I'm going back into the kitchen, and then Madeline comes in. Mom, can I take my camera to school today? No, you can't take your camera to school. Well, then I don't see Madeline for 5 minutes. Madeline, come eat breakfast. So then here she comes, you know, all mad, just, you know, with her attitude. And so this is our morning. And then Hampton gets up, who I always pray that he doesn't wake up until the kids are gone, you know, to school. Well, here he comes. And if you know Hampton, he's a talker, and he talks and he talks and he talks. So, you know, he comes in and he's like, Mom, I'm hungry. Can I have chocolate milk? Can I have something up there? I need to change, you know, get my underwear on. Can I get something? I'm hungry. You know, I mean, it's just this constant needing something. And I'm like, hold on, buddy, hold on. So I'm, you know, go back to getting everything ready for school. And I turn around and here Hampton has the box of Lucky Charms. And before I can even, you know, grab it from him, he dumps it on the floor, empties the whole bag of Lucky Charms, and he sits down, and I'm just like, okay. And then he just sits there and picks out all the what of Lucky Charms. Sitting there eating all the marshmallows out of the box of Lucky Charms. So then I did what any good mom would do, right? I call for backup. Bo! Where are you? And half the time, you know why we do that? It's not even that we need their help, you know, because sometimes dads make bigger messes than the kids, right? It's not that we need their help. It's we just want them to experience the chaos with us, right? We just want them to experience what we go through while they're getting themselves ready, right? But anyways, to his glory or praise, he did get the broom. He knows where it's at, and he swept up the Lucky Charms for me. So you can give him a hand. It's a good husband. But I want to talk about something. In that moment, I lost it. I couldn't hold it together anymore. I was just like, okay, you know, both kids have cried. They haven't been up for 30 minutes yet. No one's eaten breakfast. The bus is fixing to be here. Just pure chaos. And I think whether you're a mom or not, you can relate to the chaos of life, the busyness that we have. I know all of you are busy, men, husbands, moms, just wives, even if you're not single people, everyone is busy and can relate to just not being able to hold it all together. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about today is just how do we, when things break loose in our lives, how do we hold it together? When chaos seems to be the only constant that we experience, how do we hold it together in this crazy thing called life? Because some days, you know, chaos is just, it's just a part of life. To some point, but then sometimes it controls our lives and we just want to run away and hide or go back to bed and start the day over. And so how do we hold it together in those times? And so I'm here to say that there's hope in the midst of that, and there's someone who can sustain us in the midst of the crazy thing of life. And there's someone who promises to sustain us. And I want to kind of talk about that word sustain for a little bit before we get kind of really dive into this. And I think that the definition of sustain sounds a lot like what we as moms try to do. We try to sustain our families. We try to hold things together. So let's talk about what sustain means. And here's kind of the definition. Sustain means to keep in existence or to maintain. And you know how we can look at that as moms, we brought our kids into existence, right? And on some days, we hope that by the end of the day, they're still existing, right? Sustain also means to provide with necessities or nourishment. And a lot of times that might be goldfish or fruit chews. Those are the necessities in our kids' lives, right? But no, we do sometimes, occasionally, possibly fix nourishing meals for our family. Sustain also means to keep from falling or sinking. I think we as moms, we try to keep things from falling apart in our families. We try to keep our kids from falling down, from getting hurt. And as much as we warn them and try to protect them from that, they still climb up on the counter to get those fruit chews or goldfish by themselves because they're so impatient to wait for you. And we try to keep them from falling, but sometimes they fall. To sustain also means to encourage. And I think that moms, we tend to be our kids' biggest fans, right? Where we support them, we love them. And then there's also those days where things are crazy and we just have to bite our tongue, right? So we're called to, and I want to apply this kind of in a different way, and don't take offense to this, but I think that we as moms, we're supposed to do what a good mama cow does, okay? A good mama cow, she protects and she feeds and she helps her calves survive, right? And I think that we can look at this, too, in the fact that if the cow, if the mom isn't healthy, then she can't adequately provide for her calf. If she's not receiving sustenance herself, like good water or minerals or food, then she can't properly sustain her calf. And I think that the same is true for us moms. If we're not healthy, physically, spiritually, emotionally, we can't properly take care of our families, of our kids. So if we're not being sustained, all those things that I just talked about, then we can't properly care for our kids, and we sure can't hold it together. And so I want to kind of answer the question, where do we find this sustaining power? And for some of you moms, maybe you didn't grow up in church, or you didn't have a mom that taught you about the Lord or anything like that. And I hope that this kind of helps speak to your heart today and helps you to realize that craziness doesn't have to be a constant in your life, that there is someone who can give us strength and to do motherhood and to do it in a godly way. So I want to turn to God's word for the answer to today's question. If you have your Bibles, or you can look on the screen, Colossians 1, 15 through 17. It says, He, and it's talking about Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So these verses tell us that God isn't only our creator, but he's also our sustainer. So here's the question. How do we receive God's sustaining power, and how do we hold it together? And here's number one. So if you're taking notes, which I hope that you do, I want to just get rolling with this. Number one, we have to know who he is. And verses 15 and 16 answer this for us. It says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So this verse is telling us that he is Jesus Christ. He's our sustainer. Everything was created by him. Us, we were created by him. Our children, ultimately, were created by him. The breath that we breathe, the food that we eat, everything that we have was given to us by God. And not only was everything created by him, but everything was created for him. So he gives it to us so we can turn around and give it back to him. We're created for his glory. And he intends and, you know, wants for us to serve him and to honor him. Everything that we have, all of our possessions, he wants us to use those for his glory. All of our talents or our gifts, he wants us to use those for his glory. And our children, we're also created for his glory. So in order to tap into that sustaining power, we first off have to know who he is. And like the calf that gets, if it gets lost from its mom, it doesn't know where to get the nourishment. It doesn't know where to get food. And it's not going to be able to truly be sustained without its mom. So we have to know who he is because he is our sustainer. Okay, and number two, to hold our lives together, we need to keep Jesus before all things. Verse 17 says, He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So this verse is saying that, Jesus has always been. He was before the world began, and he is before everything. And how we can apply this to our lives is to keep him that way in our lives. I think sometimes, we're good at putting things before ourselves as moms. We have kids, we have housework, we have jobs, we have soccer practice, rodeo, piano lessons, and a lot of times that happens all in the same night, right? And so we're good at putting things before our lives. T-ball, we're in the midst of that right now. We're kind of in the trenches of that mom who goes from one softball practice to t-ball practice to, you know, a game and all that. So we're kind of entering into that world. And so I think it just comes second nature for us moms to put things before ourselves. And Bo has talked about this before. He's talked about our priorities should be God first and then us second. And what he means by that is if we're not filling ourselves up, we're not able to pour out to others. So if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're unable to, you know, to give and serve our families like we should. And we're unable to be sustained. So first, I think there's two things that we as moms need to do to take care of ourselves. And first, and this is most important, is we need to spend time daily with our sustainer. And we need to read our Bible daily. We need to pray. We need to tap into that power. And if you have something to write down, I was going to give you just a couple of resources. If you might be saying, how do we do that? How do we, you know, I can read my Bible, but I don't understand it or whatever. Well, there's some resources out there that help us to understand. And so Proverbs31.org is a website. You can go on there and you can sign up for daily devotions to be emailed to you. And it's just Proverbs31.org. And then also a new one is, it's called If Equip, like IFEQIP.com. And they're going through the book of Acts right now. And again, it emails you daily. It just comes right to your email. You click on it. It takes you to this link and it has the verses all right there for you. And then it also has a video, like a 3-minute video that you can watch where these ladies kind of break down what you just read and explain it to you. So, and some of you are sitting there thinking, that's just something else to add to my to-do list. Well, I believe that spending time with God is kind of like a tithe. If you spend time with God, he's going to bless your time. He's going to lengthen it and make it, even more productive than it would be without him. So, and again, he can do more with 90% of your time than we can do with 100%. So if we would just give God a portion of our time and spend time with him in the word, then he's going to bless our efforts to get things done that we have to get done. And the second thing that I think that we need to be sustained as a mom is to spend time on you. I think, again, we put ourselves on the back burner and we often neglect ourselves. We never take time to do the things that we enjoy. We don't physically or emotionally take care of ourselves, and we think that we're being selfish if we do that. And I think sometimes we have this mentality of the more I neglect myself, the better of a mom I am. And I think that that's untrue because, again, if you're not filled up and taking care of yourself, then you don't have much to pour out to give to your kids, and you're not teaching your kids the right priorities of spending time with the Lord and letting them realize that that's where their strength comes from when they get older as well. It's not from you as the mom, it's from Jesus Christ. And so I think that in order for us to be great moms, we need to take care of ourselves. And I want you to realize too, and I think this is something we need to hear, it's simple, but you're not a bad mom if you take time, leave the kids somewhere with a babysitter or with dad or whatever, and do some things that you enjoy, whether that's barrel racing, going and getting a pedicure or a massage or, scrapbooking or whatever your hobby or interest is. Take time and make time for that so that you're filled up and you have more to give out. For me, it's running. If I can take care of myself physically and have that time where I can just do something that I enjoy, I'm a much happier mom. And you know the saying, if mom's not happy, right? So we need to be doing those things to help us hold it together. So first, we have to know who he is. Second, we need to keep him before all things. And third, and you might be asking, why? Why do we need to know this? And why do we need to keep him before all things? Well, number three is this, because in him, all things hold together. And it's only through him that things are going to hold together. So verse 17, and I love this verse, and I think it's a great one for you to memorize, but it says, he is before all things. So it's talking about Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So this verse, it says it. He's the glue that holds us together. This verse says that, if it says in him all things hold together, then the opposite is true. Without him, all things are going to fall apart. All things are going to be pure chaos, and all things, are going to just go south really quickly. And we're going to have a huge fail because it is too much for us to handle. If you think about everything that we have to do as moms, is just people, raising kids, working, holding down a job, serving in church, helping at school, just living life. It's too much for us to handle, and it's quickly going to fall apart without him. And maybe some of you are experiencing right that, you know, maybe your kids are twisted off and things are just not going well. Well, I hope that maybe if you're not already applying some of this stuff, that you'll apply it and things, you know, the Lord can redeem anything. But a commentary that I read, it explains this verse like this. It says, their existence, order, and arrangement are continued by his power. If they're unsupported by him, they would fall into disorder or sink back to nothing. So in other words, if we're unsupported by our sustainer, which is Jesus, then all things are going to be disorder. In other words, chaos. So if he isn't our sustainer, that's what our life is going to be like that. And I'm not saying that, again, if you do these things, everything's going to be perfect, because a lot of it is just life, but we'll have the strength to handle it. Isaiah 40:31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So he is our strength. And so here's the truth. I think that as moms, a lot of times we feel like if we leave, everything's going to fall apart. Does anyone feel like that? If you're gone out of town, it's like, I can't be gone. My kids have games. They have school. They have to, you know, things they got to do. No one else can do that besides me. And we think, you know, they're not going to make it to their T-ball game. And if they do, they're going to have on like, mismatched socks. Or if, you know, if we leave them and we aren't there all the time, they're going to have Twizzlers and Coke for breakfast, right? Or, you know, we don't even want to think about what their hair is going to look like or what they're going to wear to school if we're not around. So we feel like we're the glue that holds things together. And that's just not true. It's only through Jesus that things can be held together. And I think that another thing that we do as moms is we look to other moms on how to hold things together. We look and say, man, she seems like she has it together. I wonder what she does to hold it together. Or, you know, we look and we start to compare ourselves. Does any mom ever compare herself to anyone else? I better see every hand, right? I think we fall into the comparison trap. Well, she does this or that, so maybe I should do that. Or she freezes like a year's worth of meals, and you know, so maybe I should do that. Or she never goes out with her friends, so maybe I should not ever, you know, take time to do things for myself. Or she doesn't have any hobbies. She just, you know, is always with her family. Maybe I should do the same thing. And we tend to compare ourselves. And I think that it's, you know, it's okay to, and it's even smart to look to others for advice and godly counsel and wisdom. But if you're trying to just take what they do and depend on that to hold it together and to change how you do things, then you're gonna fail. And I tend to, how many of you struggle with comparing yourself to your own mom? My mom is like superwoman. I mean, she can. Is an excellent cook, and I'm just really not. I'm not a great cook. It's not something I really love to do. My mom, I don't think I've ever, like one, I'm not even kidding. I don't think I've ever heard my mom say she was tired. I'm like, wow, I get tired a lot. And I don't know. Maybe it's that third kid. She just had two. Maybe that's the reason. My mom, she can fertilize her yard, then go doctor a sick calf, go bake a cake, and, you know, just all in a day's work. You know, that's just a typical day for my mom. She's just amazing. So, but I've had to learn that I'm not my mom, and that's okay. My family, you know, and again, you just got to look and see what works for your family. My family could care less to have a big fancy meal. And you know why? Because it makes me cranky. So my husband would rather me fix a peanut butter and jelly and be happy than to try and fix some great huge meal that I burn and then I'm just mad at myself about. My family could care less if I pass on doing laundry one day because I'm a little worn out and I want to wait till tomorrow. My kids, and here's another thing. My kids, like I said, I like to run. I like to go to the gym or whatever. My kids like to go to the gym because I enjoy going to the gym, and we've kind of made that our lifestyle. And I think a lot of times we don't do things because we feel like we're neglecting our kids. You know, oh, they've been at school all day. I don't want to take them to the gym because then they're just, you know, they need to go home and play. Well, Bo pointed out to me one day, they do the same thing there that they would do at home. They play in this room and they play with balls and shoot basketball, and then they get to watch a movie. That's exactly what they would do if we were home. They would play for a little bit and then they would want to watch a movie. So I've had to realize, you know, what works for our family. family and to realize that I'm not neglecting my kids, because again, I'm filling myself up and I'm happy and I'm able to pour out to them even more. So my point with that is, if we're trying to be like someone else or trying to hold things together by doing things like someone else does rather than looking to God through that, then it's going to still be chaos. So I just challenge you today to not compare yourself, to look to who your sustainer is. And I heard a quote the other day. Bo's going to come up and kind of wrap this up, because I'm thinking about lunch. I want you guys to be able to beat the crowd, right? But I heard this quote, and he said, I truly believe that being a mom is an opportunity for us to recognize our need for a Savior. And I think that's so true. I think that if we... And a lot of people recognize that need, whether they have kids or not, but having kids especially, it helps you to realize that you need something besides just yourself to help you do this. And I think that we can look at our kids as a blessing, that that the Lord has used that to help us to recognize our need for Him and to draw strength from Him. So be thankful for your kids, be thankful for the chaos that comes with having kids, and be thankful for the opportunity to be a mom.
Amen. I'm gonna ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second, and we'll close this thing out. I don't know about you, but I believe my wife delivered one of the greatest messages that a mother or father or anybody could really ever hear, and so I want to give you an opportunity to think about it, and I want to say this as well. You know, we come in here, and it's church, and it's all feely good, and we all think, you know, everybody's got a good mom, but the truth is, not everybody has a great mom like my mom or my wife's mom or even my wife is to our kids. And so here's what I want to get across. You know, again, God can sustain you even if you don't have a good mom. Some of you, your mom's not around. Maybe some of you, your mother's passed away. Maybe some of you, your mother left when you were a kid. I don't know. But just like Heather said, if you want to hold it together, if you want to be sustained, if you want to thrive as a mother, if you want to be the best godly mother that you can be, it doesn't matter how you were brought up. It doesn't matter if your mom was around or not. You look to God and you look to Jesus Christ for your strength, and He will make you the greatest mom that you could ever be. And so I encourage you, mothers, listen to the words of my wife and hopefully to the Lord. Listen to His words and know that, again, if you will know who He is, and that's the key, you got to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you got to know that He is before all things. In other words, you got to put Him before everything in your life. And then you got to realize that He holds it all together. And so in your life, give Him all the glory, give Him all the praise, spend time with Him, and He will strengthen you. And so I want to wrap this up with a closing word of prayer. And if you want to make a decision to know who He is today, again, today is the day. Maybe you need to pray even right there in your seat and you say, Lord, I want to make You the Father of my life, the spiritual Father of my life, so that I can have that sustaining power to overcome the things in my life, the things that I face as a mother, as a father, as a child, as a teenager. And so, Lord, come into my life and save me and give me that power. Maybe you just prayed that in your own heart, right where you're at. Listen, we want to know that. Maybe you've got more questions and you don't feel like you need to pray that right now. Listen, fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets, or text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you and we will help you grow in that relationship with Christ so that you can be sustained by Him. And so let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank You for the opportunity to be challenged as mothers today, and I pray that every mother would walk out of here knowing You personally and giving their life to You fully, putting You before all things so that You can hold things together. Lord, I thank You for the great mothers that a lot of us have, and I thank You for the way that they've poured their lives into us and all that they've showed us. And so, Lord, we thank You for our mothers. And Lord, I thank You that even though some don't have a great mother, they can look to You as an example of how to love, how to live,
and how to just bring glory to your name. And so, Lord, we thank you for today. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you again for being here. If you're a first-time guest, we'd love to connect with you right outside the door here. Thank you. Have a great Mother's Day.
Thank you again for listening to this message, and we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.